Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Listen to KMOX anytime, anywhere. Download the Radio.com app today.
We hold these truths to be self-evident. All men and women created by go, you know the thing.
I'd like to have a banana split, and I'd like to have three scoops of ice cream, vanilla, and chocolate and strawberry.
Now, Mark Reardon.
You're kind of a dumb guy, you know that.
On St. Louis's News Radio, KMOX.
Well, welcome back. They let us back in the doors for a second day here,
well,
Bo Matthews.
You had to let me in the door, but yeah, I got in.
And I let you in because you brought cookies from the Blue Owl. And I say he brought. I ordered them.
And paid for them.
And paid for them, and he picked them up for me. So then, thank you for the delivery.
Thank you for the extra weight, because of course I couldn't walk out of there without something for myself.
Oh, so, good, yeah, good, 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 good.
Snack.
Well, we've got a great 2 hours planned.
If it unfolds the way we've got it planned, that'd be great.
Well, what's going to happen? Of course we're going to talk to the Chancellor of Webster University and talk about me teaching there and scholarships they are giving out. And we're going to talk about vacationing apart from your spouse. I have an interview with my husband. He was willing to talk about this thing he does.
Did you have to butter him up to do the phone call?
I was surprised that he was willing.
Yeah, my wife does not go around anywhere near a microphone.
Yeah, I was surprised. Yeah. I mean, he's been on the air before. He's been on stage with me. He's gone to public events with me. So, and we've been married over 26 years now. So I guess he's used to me thrusting him into the public eye. So it wasn't hard, but we're going to talk about that as well. But first.
Did you?
I did not.
You didn't?
I did okay. not. And yeah. I did not. I have a reason why I did not. I was.
Sanity? Keeping your sanity?
We're talking about
the town halls.
The town halls. Yeah. The town halls. It was supposed to be a debate. I did not watch either. I watched some coverage of them, but I was getting ready to send lots of packages to relatives in Atlanta. So I was doing packing and cooking and baking last night. And so I decided I'm going to do the packing and the cooking and the baking, and I'm not going to watch.
We've all seen the research, Carol, that says we shouldn't have our nose in the news all the time.
That is true.
Especially for somebody like yourself.
Who's with it all day.
Yeah, all day long. My wife is on that board, too. She likes to, you know, she likes to stay away.
She's a board chair, yeah.
But I consumed it because I thought, well, we might be talking about it because it did happen last night.
It did happen, and it was big news. And we are, and we're going to play a bit for you in just a second, but we should know a little later today, maybe more important for one candidate than the other, who got the better ratings of the dueling town halls last night. But let's get a bit of what you, if you did see it and if you didn't, what they said.
Yeah, check this out.
As far as the mask is concerned, I'm good with masks. I'm okay with masks. I tell people wear masks. But just the other day, they came out with a statement that 85% of the people that wear masks catch it.
Well,
so, you know,
they
this
didn't
is
say
a
that.
Very
I know
tricky,
that study.
Well, that's what I heard and that's what I saw.
Our deaths per capita is among the highest
excess
among industrially.
Excess
sorry?
Mortality, we're a winner on the excess mortality. And what we've done has been amazing. And we have done an amazing job. And It's rounding the corner, and we have the vaccines coming, and we have the therapies coming.
Did you test the day afterwards. Of the debate?
I don't know. I don't even remember.
Did you take a test, though, on the day of the debate?
You know, if you ask the doctor, they'll give you a perfect answer. But yeah. They take a test, and I leave, and I go about
so
my business.
Did you take a test on the day of the debate, I guess, is the bottom line.
I probably did, and I took a test the day before and the day before.
The words of a president matter.
Absolutely.
No matter whether they're good, bad, or indifferent, they matter. And when a president doesn't wear a mask or makes fun of folks like me when I was wearing a mask for a long time, then, you know, people say, well, it mustn't be that important.
If they vote out before the election, you are open to expanding the court?
I'm open to considering what happens from that point on.
But don't voters have a right to know where you
they
stand?
They do have a right to know where I stand. They'll have a right to know where I stand before they vote.
So you'll come out with a clear position before Election Day?
Yes. Depending on how they handle this.
Mr. Vice President, if you lose, what will that say to you about where America is today?
Well, it could say that I'm a lousy candidate and I didn't do a good job. But I think, I hope that it doesn't say that we are as racially, ethnically, and religiously at odds with one another as it appears the president wants us to be.
Okay, so
all
there
right.
you go.
A little, there you
little,
go.
Relive that thing.
So we have 13.9 million viewers. These are we are getting some preliminary Nielsen ratings, and the preliminary numbers estimate that Joe Biden had more ratings than Donald Trump. 13.9 million tuned in to ABC, and then 10.7. million tuned in to watch Savannah Guthrie grill President Trump. You watched them both,
however,
right?
However, I didn't watch them on. I didn't watch Trump on all three channels. But if you combined the numbers for all three brands of NBC, I think Trump was at like 13.3. But I was actually more interested in watching Joe Biden because number one, we're all looking for gaffes. Number one, personally, but
right.
I'm in the middle because I really would like to have Joe pull me to his side, and I want to listen to his arguments,
mm-hmm.
and so that's why I really am going into this election personally, open-minded as I can be, because I just
is that even possible?
I mean, that,
I hope it is.
That's
just,
why
just
I'm watching
in general,
both.
Yeah.
I don't know, but
and so you, Savannah Guthrie and George Stephanopoulos, and to be clear, the 2.4 million simulcast on MSNBC and CNBC. And then Biden still leads by a million when you combine those. So
sure.
Those are the other numbers you were speaking of. I just want to be clear
on
that.
Yeah, and the actual views that you can catch is on YouTube. And I saw Trump's town hall had a 1.3 million on that. So people get their town halls in this case from many different sources, whether they're listening. A friend of mine I talk to all the time, Brian, he said, oh, he definitely listened to it, didn't watch it.
And you can, if you DVR'd it and you haven't watched it yet, I believe it's maybe a week before those numbers count.
So if
you DVR something and don't watch it within that period, it does not count.
So you just kept with Serenity Now and just stayed away from
it
all.
Your wife and I were mind melding last night and not engaging at all.
After she went to bed, that's when I hit the play button and I started bouncing back and forth. And you know,
watching Savannah and George. She was going, anybody who would interview a person, I've interviewed combative people.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a judgment. Just people who really don't want to maybe answer the question or, they want to take you to task for whatever you said
right.
or how you said it. And I haven't had a whole lot of that in my career, but I've definitely had it. And so you would have more of that with a President Trump than you would with a Joe Biden anyway, just because of their personalities.
Right, right.
And so I would be interested to see the reverse. I'd love to see George Stephanopoulos interview
That would be interesting,
President
yeah.
Trump.
The first image that I saw of Joe Biden, though, it was almost like his arms were like reaching from
a
crib. Yeah,
but yes.
That's the way the whole auditorium was set up. It was on levels. And
so he was looking up because of the people?
He was looking up at the people.
So you know what I thought when I saw that, Bo? I thought that it was a method to calm the stutter. I really thought
wow.
that. I really thought that, okay, he's just trying to center himself.
Right.
I thought that. But I had no idea at all.
You do know how pundits love to advise these candidates, and they should have done this, they should have done that. I would say this about Joe Biden's responses included big numbers, billions and millions and thousands and all these things.
Did that go over your head or was it wah, wah, wah?
I think it does for most people because when we do a conversation right now and we start talking about thousands of BTUs in an air conditioner.
Well, I just did it with the viewership, right?
Well, but that's more of a boom statement. Every answer was, you know, big, long, it was laundry listing numbers. And so it gets confusing to the viewer.
Do you wonder if the advisors are telling him don't do that again, or they told him to do it?
I'm sure they didn't say it. Matter of fact, they asked him for some hard numbers. One person in the town hall asked Joe Biden for something, and he goes, well, I carry this card around with me, almost like it was his Bible. And he pulls it out from inside.
And what was it?
It was numbers that, you know, talked about, you know, the economy and things like that. It was notes. He had notes that he was going off of, but he said, oh, I carry this around with me everywhere I go. Is how, you know, that's how he said it. I carry this around. So he had notes, like cliff notes, if you will. And he was kind of messing those up a little bit. So I kind of felt bad for him. But I didn't see any notes for Trump. He was just, like you said, he was just forceful. He was answering the question.
Did he answer a question? Because clips I saw, I didn't feel like he was, I felt like it was a combative thing. And that's the emotional take I had is that it was not a... And town halls are known. I mean, you can ask former Senator Claire McCaskill about town halls. I mean, she was notorious for town halls. And she said she used to say, you know, I got to get in there.
Right.
And people are going to, you know, they're going to. I remember her saying one time that people would stop her at the gas station, wherever she went, because she did so many town halls. She said it made people know that they could approach her and say whatever to her. And they did. So town halls are supposed to be. You expect that, I should say. Not supposed to be, but you expect.
But I expected going into both of the town halls last night, there was going to be more respect because it's a candidate talking to the people, right? And answering
the people's
questions.
You expected
respect? Well, and I think they got it.
I'm not saying, I'm not adjusting. Yeah, I just want to be clear that I heard what you said.
I was hoping for it, right?
Okay.
But I think we can all agree, and maybe we can't, but I think I would hope we could all agree that we both, both candidates gave us more concise answers, uninterrupted.
Right.
Last night than the first debate that happened.
So the question then is, do you want another debate at all? Do you want another debate at all?
What a terrible question to ask.
That was not me.
I am not sure that I don't know if America can take it so close to the election even.
Yeah.
Because they're supposed to debate again.
In a real type of debate.
In a real type of debate.
I don't know. I don't think there's a moderator needed. I think they should just sit down. We should put cameras on both of them and just have a conversation.
Huh? Let's get some robot in there. Let's get a robot
rock
in there.
Rock 'em, sock 'em robots.
Rock 'em, sock 'em robots. That is the answer. That is the answer.
It's Bo Matthews and Carol Daniel. And coming up, we are going to talk. We're going to talk about education. We're going to talk about Webster University and how you are a adjunct professor. I'm so impressed to be in your presence.
I'm impressed too that I got it done. But we'll talk more about that and what Webster's doing with the so-called Suggs scholarships, and then my experiences as a professor. It's all next on the Mark Reardon Show on KMOX.
The Mark Reardon Show, sponsored by Cantor Injury Law on St. Louis's News Radio KMOX.
Carol Daniel and Bo Matthews with you this afternoon. Thank God it's Friday. We both are so happy. And we are in for Mark Reardon, who returns next week. So for probably 20 years now, I have been emceeing an event with the St. Louis American Foundation, and millions in scholarships are given out at each gala. Well, COVID has canceled so much, of course, and so the gala will be online tonight and tomorrow, two nights. And the individuals who receive scholarships receive them in partnership with many universities. And one of those universities is Webster University right here in St. Louis. And Chancellor Beth Strobel joins us now on KMOX. It's always a pleasure to talk to you.
Well, I feel the same way. And thank you, Carol. And good to talk with you, Bo.
It is nice to meet you.
And so the big news here for Webster, because you've been in partnership with the St. Louis American Foundation for many, many years. But this year you decided to increase the number of scholarships that you give in partnership with Dr. Donald M. Suggs. How many now and why?
We have 10 this year. And previously we had 2. So why? Because in times of challenge, it's important to step up to meet a need.
Was that a difficult decision to make? Because, you know, this is not an inexpensive college education one gets at Webster University.
Well, I appreciate it. It is not a difficult decision to make to put your priorities on keeping students safe and secure and giving them not only access, but a path to success. And so, yes, it does cause you to rethink your priorities and where you put your attention and what's needed at the moment. And so I will not say it's an easy decision to make that investment, but it was not difficult. My colleagues and I were all on board that this is the year to do it.
And Dr. Donald M. Suggs, for those who don't know, I mean, he used to years ago do editorials right here on KMOX, probably about 20 years ago or so, is the publisher of the St. Louis American newspaper, which is the number one newspaper covering the Black community in the entire country, based right here in St. Louis. And many years ago, decades ago, he started the foundation to uplift young people to get a college education. When did you first meet him, and what was it about his mission that said to you, I want to be a part of this?
Well, thank you. When I arrived in St. Louis in 2009 to come to Webster University, Dr. Suggs was a member of our Board of Trustees. So I naturally had an opportunity to meet him and talk with him one-on-one. What I will say he inspires me to do, and I hope he will inspire these young people to do, is to find the place where you can make a difference and commit your life to it and your career.
And you know, I used to write in the paper, and I describe him as a mentor of mine, and one who pushed me, you know, as a columnist, which is something that I had never done before when I met him. Talk to me about the difference because I know you've had two graduates, the difference
yes.
you've seen in the young people who get these scholarships.
Well, it removes a source of worry. I think almost every student right now and their families have many economic pressures. And that was true before the COVID pandemic faced us and before the economic fallout from that. It is not an easy thing to muster the finances and the time and the willpower and the drive it takes to get into college and to stay in college and persist to a degree. And we know that for many, many students, and particularly students who, for whatever reason, may be first in their family to go to college, or may be from groups that are traditionally underrepresented in college populations. So anything that can be done to take one topic off the table, and financial is a big one, is helpful to students. And I think the other thing the Suggs Scholarship does is it identifies these young people as people whose hard work makes a difference, that they have worked hard to get very good grades, they've worked hard to be leaders in their high schools and in their communities, and this is a way of saying, well done,
yeah.
That is going to help you through college, and you will always be a Suggs Scholar. And carry that name and that investment proudly.
I think that's amazing. More students are receiving these four year full scholarships in 2020. Webster University Chancellor Beth Strobel is our guest. This is all great news, Beth, but I want to just find out the reality of COVID and how it's affecting the campus.
Well, you know, the investment in safety has been first and foremost.
Yeah.
So as you can imagine, pivoting to having virtually everything remote last March took enormous commitment of our faculty and staff and everyone, and students included. So the emotional toll of that, certainly from being relatively isolated, was something we wanted to address this fall. So when we came back this fall, we have a mix of ways that we serve students, some fully online, some in person, and some mix and match, some days on class, some days online. And, you know, the plexiglass and the safety protocols and daily temperature checks and wearing masks. I will say I am enormously proud of how well everyone here has invested effort to make this work. So as of today, since we started school, and we're right at midterm time now, we've had 2 active cases here on our campus, and 8 if you count the commuter students. And we're doing relatively well, and our goal is to stay open to assure that in the future we give everyone the best possible chance for having in-person activity again.
Well, I think a snapshot of Webster University dealing with COVID is kind of like a snapshot of America. And a few months after we began this pandemic process, we learned that a lot of people that were working from home were actually more productive. Do you feel that is the same with some of your students?
I think that that's probably true. And, you know, at Webster, we've been offering fully online degree programs since the 1990s. So there were always individuals for whom online was the choice for convenience. We know that we, like almost every institution in the country, when you look at people who choose to do degrees online, it is mostly women with small children. And they work a job, they have family responsibilities, and being able to do the degree on their own time, whether it's late at night, early in the morning, at lunchtime, just works for them to keep propelling them forward to get a degree at the same time they have many life responsibilities.
Well, Dr. Strobel, congratulations to you, and honored that you've made this decision with the university behind you to give 10 scholarships to St. Louis area students. And folks are going to have a chance to meet them tonight by going to the St. Louis American YouTube page. It's a 2-night event that we taped a couple of weeks ago. The scholarship portion is tonight and the education portion is tomorrow. Both are at 7:00. Dr. Strobel, thank you again for all that you do in the community.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to share it with you, and let's all just keep safe.
All right. That is Webster University Chancellor Beth Strobel. And
one of your colleagues.
Well, I say that. I don't know, colleague. I am what you call an adjunct professor. I should show you I had to go and get a card to get on campus. I'll tell you about the security. And a part of that is the COVID security protocols they put in place.
I don't even know what adjunct professor. I didn't even want to look it up. I don't want to look it up. I don't want to lose any luster of what this title is. All I know is Professor Daniel is with us. My name is Bo Matthews.
I'll talk about that.
And we'll do that next on The Voice of St. Louis, KMOX.
News Radio 1120, KMOX. The Voice of the Cardinals.
Up in the morning and out to school. The teacher is teaching the golden rule.
That's messed up. That is so perfect.
Dave Klein is excellent. He is excellent. We just talked to the Webster University Chancellor, Dr. Beth Strobel, about their participation in the SUG scholarships. They've increased them available from 2 to 10. And tonight and tomorrow night, the gala that honors young people, which I emcee for probably 20 years now, 7:00 tonight on their YouTube channel.
And how sad is it that it's not happening live? You know,
is one of the greatest events. I mean, 2,000 people. Oh, I always say that, and people correct me and say, Carol, is 1,500. I'm like, it looks like 2,000 to me. It's at America Center. It is a highlight of the year for me.
And to put the spotlight on these young people for getting, let me say this again, they're receiving 4-year full scholarships.
Yes.
And this is huge. It used to be 2, now it's 10.
Now. And I should blow your mind even further because Webster is only one, because what happens at night? Webster is only one of the universities that offers a SUGS scholarship.
Right, right.
Mizzou, Maryville, Lindenwood, I think, Missouri State University in Springfield. I think Mizzou offers 2 or 3. I mean,
wow.
There's like 7 or 8 or 9 universities around that offer SUG scholars. And so it is just, you know, we just have this tally going. And by the end of the night, it's like $2 million, you know, dollars worth of scholarships. It's just such an uplifting night. There are young people who want to get a college degree, who want to get further educated. They give out one for a master's program as well, people who are going on.
I wonder if any of these, now the students already know who they are, who received it, right?
Yes, they've been notified, yeah.
I wonder if anybody has video of the students learning, opening the letter, opening the email, you know.
Oh,
like,
I don't know.
To be a fly on the wall, yeah. To see that reaction, I bet they would just lose it.
I did do a Zoom interview with about 3 of them.
Oh, did you?
And one is from Harris-Stowe State University, and another goes to Maryville, and that will air. And just talking to them about what it's been like during COVID. COVID and their concerns, their hopes, their dreams, you know, sort of an interview.
Now, did you have that job because you are an adjunct professor?
I think I got the job because I was writing a column in the St. Louis American many moons ago.
Okay.
And I started doing the emceeing for that event. And I became an adjunct professor, something I've always wanted to do. I've always wanted to be a college professor. I always wanted to teach.
I would be shocked to see that reaction when you receive that word.
Always wanted to teach. And
you teach us every day on the radio,
by the way. Listen to you, bro.
You do. You
listen
do.
To you. Teach, tell you what not to do is how we...
No, seriously.
Well, this is about education.
And you are the voice of authority.
Please talk to my sons. And so adjunct professor, but what I learned, Bo, that was so amazing is that I just thought that they have a list of classes, and you get to choose one, and then you teach that class.
Kind of like career day kind of thing?
Sort of like that.
Yeah.
But no.
Okay.
Not at all. You can create a class. You must create a class. And so I met several times with the dean, and he said, let's narrow it down. You know, what do we think students need today?
Yeah.
You're a professional. You've been in the industry for over 30 years. What do students need? What would be interesting to young people? You have to think that way. You've got to give it a great title that's going to pique their interest so they'll sign up for the class.
Okay.
All of these things that I just didn't even think about, you know?
So what was, okay, let me guess. The subject was how to create a Pinterest page?
It was definitely a journalism communications class.
Okay.
And the title that we created was The Art of the Interview.
I should have been in that class.
The Art of the Interview. And Dave Klein was one of my guests.
Yeah, Dave.
Yes.
So you guys, you were a guest or you were just a spectator?
No, I was a guest.
He was a guest.
I was being interviewed by the class.
Oh,
and
my
so
goodness.
We had 11 students, and we were in class. Yeah. Everybody had their mask on. We were all 6 feet apart, or 10 feet apart in some cases. And so I had 2 days of various people coming on to be interviewed, and Dave and another friend of mine, fathers of multiples.
Oh,
and the young
wow.
people, after me telling them how to do it, this is how you create questions.
Oh, they and that's had, why Dave was there.
And that Dave was there to be interviewed.
Gotcha.
And they got emotional.
Yeah.
Yeah.
There were tears.
There
Lots
were tears.
Tears.
Because you're a father of septuplets, is that right?
No, twins. No, it's just, just tears in general just because of, you know.
Remembering it all.
Remembering that, remembering the miscarriage that my wife and I had years ago, and remembering just what my twins had to go through just to survive in the NICU. So
and the person that he was with has triplets, and what he went through, they both got emotional,
yeah.
Dave and
so,
him.
Very similar experiences, too.
Yes,
which
very.
Is between
very.
So on a serious note, can you describe how that worked? So did the class interview Dave or
Dave,
interview
they
you?
Came on Zoom.
Oh.
And they have this huge screen in the room, and they were on Zoom, and I had to repeat the questions because they couldn't hear.
Oh boy! Okay.
So yeah,
so they interviewed you though.
Yes, and they did a good job.
Did they?
Because
they
really made
good
them
job.
Cry. I told them you guys did a Barbara Walters on these guys.
Wow! you know what? You got to cut through with emotion, and that's obviously that was a great subject. But so the art of the interview. Did you have the class for a day or two before Dave was a guest?
It was a 1 hour class. And it was supposed to be all Friday night and then all day Saturday. And instead, it was 2 Saturdays in a row.
Wow.
Yeah.
And what an honor for those kids to be around you, you know, to have a class with you.
They said that. They did say talking to someone who's currently doing what they hope to do was very inspirational for them. So.
You know what? On the way home yesterday, I received a phone call from an old musician friend of mine. He said that his girlfriend's son wants to get into radio, and if I had any advice for him.
There you go.
And I was like,
you could teach a class.
No, I couldn't.
You could be an adjunct professor. Professor Bo, Professor Carroll, and coming up next, why do spouses vacation apart? I asked my husband, does he vacation apart from me? I have a conversation with my husband next on KMOX.
Listening to KMOX has never been easier.
Siri, play KMOX.
Carol Daniel and Bo Matthews with you on the Mark Reardon Show. Couples vacationing apart. Is it a good idea? Would you even do it? How does it even work? So my husband, a native of the Virgin Islands, has vacationed separate from me for years. All right, so we're talking about this thing that many, many couples do around the world, and that is vacation separately. And it's so funny because I consider it a vacation when you go to St. Lucia and St. Croix, but you say it is not a vacation at all.
It's not. It's work, repairing houses and hurricane damage, repair. So it's never worked, never a vacation for me. And I've always tried to get you to come, so, you know, you can't put that on.
I can't take you, because you go. You've gone for a month. You've gone for 2 months. I can't take that amount of time off. I suppose I could, but that would be all of my vacation. But every time I mention it to someone, oh, Patrick's in St. Croix, they're like, ooh.
Yeah. I got that response from my friend Sheldon that man, what are you doing? What's wrong with your marriage? It was kind of that tone. But, at the time that I went for a month and then came back for Christmas, I think, and then went back for another month, it was all work. So, but I think it's not a bad thing that you go for maybe a couple weeks. You know, a month is too long, I think. You know, if it's just vacation.
Yeah.
Yeah,
but here you are, and folks who are your friends on Facebook, you taking pictures of yourself and videos. Yeah, you're laughing. You know what I'm talking about? Of you sprawled across the beach, and you and your brother meeting for lunch on the beach.
That was an innocent picture. I jumped in the water, then laid on a rock. I took a picture. That was nothing, but you hated it. I had to take it down. Right?
Wait a minute. You said I hated it?
You hated that picture.
Man, you, first of all, look like the cover of a romance novel.
Oh, my goodness.
And then, secondly, that was like, I think that was like the third week. You were coming back in about 10 days or something at that point when you took that picture. So. And I was not.
You were angry. You were angry.
I was not the only one.
You were angry at me and like, take it down. Why are you putting those kind of pictures up? I'm like, what?
It was a little. Yeah, it was a bit much for me.
That was just in your mind.
Yes, just in my. And it is just in my mind as well that even though you are working sun up to sundown, and like one of the last times you went after one of the hurricanes that damaged St. Croix, that you were working and then being there with to help your mother, who was, it was an emotional, and your brother, but it was an emotional trauma, especially for your mom.
Yes, it was. Yeah.
You know, that particular trip was different than the rest that to me, you just can't convince me that you're in St. Croix. How on earth can you say it's not a vacation?
It wasn't because, you know, I just stayed home. Really, you know, maybe I think the last time I went for 2 weeks, I think I went out once to the fair, the agriculture fair, and that was it. I stayed home, you know, worked, did whatever, hung out with my mom because, you know, she, up there in age, I just feel like, you know, I need to spend a little time with her.
Mm-hmm.
And because, you know, for the last 20, 30 years, you know, I would see her maybe every 7, 10 years, which was horrible on my part.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you know, so.
And I certainly have encouraged. I mean, it's not an inexpensive trip for her to come here. It's a long, arduous journey. Really, it's all day. It's almost like, you know, 20 hours. It's a difficult trip to make and an expensive trip to make. And I've always encouraged you to be in contact with your parents more. So I don't want people to get the impression that I'm keeping you away from.
No. But I think, what was the last, my last time there you said, we're not doing this again.
Right? I did say that. I think I've had enough.
I'm doing this. Don't leave me. Yeah, it was like, don't leave me again.
Not like,
you
know, that.
We can always go together. But you don't, you know, mosquitoes and you don't like.
And here's another part of that is that it what I realized the very, very first time I went 20-something years ago, and I've only gone twice with you, I realized we were there for 2 weeks. And I realized about the fifth or sixth day that it was home for you
but it was, I was a tourist. It was supposedly a vacation for me. And you were like, "What? Well, I'm home. I don't need to do anything or go anywhere." And I was like,
"That was a mistake on my part. I should have prepared and thought about, you know, it's not home for you. So you want to hang out and
see things.
Go to where the tourists go."
Yeah.
And I'm trying to stay away from that because
that's where you grew up. Yeah. Well, I would say that it, in a way, it has been good. It's good because I get to sleep in the middle of the bed, and I get to read in bed, and I get to stay up all night long and watch.
Go to bed 2 o'clock in the morning, watching television. Yeah.
And so, what is it about being apart from me that you can do that you don't get to do when we're together? I mean, is it good for you?
I can go to bed at 7:30, 9 o'clock.
I am certain that is not what people expected you to say. I would say just in general that it's okay for people who are in committed relationships to vacation apart, that it is okay. If there are issues in your marriage and you're trying to get away, that's a sign.
Yeah, it's not good.
That's not good. Yeah.
Yeah. But if you're, you know, committed and you have a strong marriage, you know, a week or two is nothing.
Not a month or two.
A month or two is too much. But, you know, I was in the military, and there are people in the military who go for a year, two years.
So true.
You know, and they handle it, even though there's a high rate of divorce in the armed forces.
That is true. I mean, yeah, I do think that, because my father, who was 27 years in the Army, as you know, when I turned 18, I realized he had been gone for half of my life, being deployed to Vietnam twice and to Germany twice. And it was very, very difficult. And I saw the challenges she faced with him being away. So that forced separation is something totally different than you taking pictures of yourself on the beach. All right, Patrick Daniel.
Sorry.
Next time we do it together. I still don't see myself going to St. Croix for a whole month. That's a long time, but
but it is a different scenario because he doesn't look at it like vacation.
He never does. But you can't convince me it's not a vacation.
But I really would like to talk to somebody that does plan. Like, if you're in a marriage or a committed relationship, do you plan a separate vacation? We want you to call in. We'd love to hear your story. 314-436-7900. That's 436-7900. I have traveled separately from my wife just recently during the corona.
Mm-hmm.
My family, there was a 50th anniversary I didn't want to miss. She wasn't feeling well. I did the trip alone. I was gone 3 days.
And I went to Chicago for a birthday by myself. You know, it was like two days.
Taking care of something, right? That's not, I mean, it's fun. It's, you know, you're getting away or traveling to see my dad in Jersey. Mm-hmm. There's just things I need to help him with.
Right.
That she doesn't really need to be.
I did the same thing with my parents. So it's kind of different than like you going out to Aruba. By yourself, or me going to Vegas by myself.
How to travel to Aruba alone. I'm checking it out right now.
Is there an article?
It's interesting, though, because I think it's healthy to miss the love, you know, especially during this time.
So do we have a call already?
Oh, we do?
All right, let's go to John. Is that Joan?
Joanne.
Okay. Thank you. Joanne, so do you vacation separately from your spouse?
Yes. We've been married for 40 years. And every year he goes fly fishing with his friends in Montana and Wyoming for 10 days. I've gone around the world with my friends for a week. And then we have our own vacations together. So,
I love it.
Do you think it's healthy? Do you miss each other? That's a good missing, right?
Well, of course we miss each other. I think it's very healthy. I mean,
yeah, I agree.
I guess I don't know any different. You know, I mean, our marriage, we've always just gone separately because he has his likes and dislikes, just like I have my likes and my dislikes.
Very
I mean,
true.
There's no way I would go stand in the Missouri River and fly fish. So,
all right, we're going to take more calls on this. I love what she has to say about it. I love it.
Absolutely. Thanks for the call, Joanne. And again, this is not a hall pass. For you to go out and do whatever. Okay?
No, not that. We'll take your calls.
314-436-7900, Mark Reardon Show, Carol Daniel, Beau Matthews.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.